gold-plated diapers.
Hey, Jellyheads, and welcome to another episode of Flat Doodle Forum, the show we discuss strange occurrences in society and culture
and provide our insight and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show. We're your hosts, Lucas Wilson
and Matt Buckley.
And today, we have our special guest host, Travis Ritchie.
Well, hello. It's good to see you, or hear you again. We saw each other. This is audio, so other people won't be able to see us, right? So.
No, unfortunately. Someday you might have some kind of video thing at some point, but right now, just...
It'd be awkward for me to say, hey, good to see you, and then no one else can see us, and it's like, you know, they can't see how awesome we all look.
Yeah.
But, exactly. And that just makes them feel bad about listening to a radio show and, you know,
we're all wearing matching suits.
Right? Shame, yeah. Well, you know, so why did we put all this effort? That's what I'm asking. I mean, this was planned out months in advance, and here we are, and now it's just a radio show? Now I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed, too. I mean
never going to need to wear a white tux again.
Well, it's good to hear from you again. It's been a few months since we met back in
August. Yes, yeah. You came and visited me as the donor for the web series. And we just are finalizing some really cool stuff that we're going to announce at Gallifrey.
Oh, yeah?
Obviously the season 2 fundraiser was not successful, but some stuff has fallen into place and we're reworking the project a little bit, and we have some very exciting things lined up.
Ooh, I'm really excited.
Cool.
Looking forward to it. When is Gallifrey one?
It is 1 month from now, so it is the 14th through the 16th of February.
So not too 16th. Okay. Yeah. We might, Matt and I are contemplating heading out to LA in March.
Okay.
Our web series got into the LA Web Fest.
Oh, great.
So we're considering going out for that. So
congratulations. I have not...
That's pretty awesome.
I haven't actually entered into any web fests, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
We went to France, actually, in October, but we were invited to that, which was extremely flattering.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but I think some winners of this get automatically entered into the Marseille.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, they are really? a sister festival. So
awesome.
So cross fingers.
Yeah. Hope so we win
cross
something.
All of my things.
All right. So I told you a little bit about what we do here on Flapdoodle Forum. We just go around in a circle of sorts and share interesting news that we have found on the web, whether it be something sciencey, something medical, something paranormal, something whatever. Mm-hmm. If somebody, you know, got their foot stuck in a lawnmower in Alaska, or somebody saw a fish eat a man alive, you know, it's whatever we find across the internet.
That would be cool. The lawnmower in Alaska. I guess the question is, why do you have a lawn in Alaska, right? Is that why that's interesting? What do you have a lawnmower for?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly why. I mean, like,
being used for some nefarious purpose, some sort of foot fetish thing. Okay, I get why that's important.
All right, so who wants to go first? Should I? Are you Matt?
I'll start it off.
Okay.
You know, what's interesting is that I found out that I just heard about my thing, but it's actually a few months old. Is that matter?
No, yeah, that's fine. I mean, like, we've had, Dave? You met Dave from No U-Turns way back. He comes on the show sometimes, and he likes to share, like, really old stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, like, he'll get, like, one of those crypto encyclopedias that he found, like, in, like, a bookstore or something like that, and, like, flip to a page on, like, you know, it's like, back in 18-something-something.
I think he's had stuff from, like, the Middle Ages, too.
Yeah, he's had some weird stuff.
Okay, all right.
We're pretty lax about what we let on here.
I've had times where I've grabbed an article, and I'm like, oh, that's that old? I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. All right, are you ready, Dave?
Yeah, I'm good.
Dave, this is Matt.
Matt, sorry.
I'm good to go.
Babe, Dave, right. Matt,
whatever.
Dave,
Dave's not here, man.
keeping with our tradition of weird news stories, this one comes from BBC News called Giant Rubber Duck Bursts in Taiwan.
Oh, I saw the video.
What?
I'm going to read some of the article verbatim here. A giant yellow rubber duck on display in a Taiwanese port has burst in unexplained circumstances. The 50-foot inflatable duck suddenly collapsed on Tuesday, only 11 days after it had been put on display in the port. Organizers are unsure as to the cause of its demise, but one theory is that it was attacked by eagles.
That is a twist to the story that I wasn't expecting.
Is this like that, like you see photo floating around of like that giant it's rubber this. Ducky? Oh, yeah. It is that rubber ducky.
There's yeah. like two others. This is the third one. One of them got blown away in like a typhoon, and the other, no, one of them they had to bring in to port because of a typhoon, and then last month a similar duck was damaged when an earthquake triggered a power outage that caused it to deflate.
Is this thing just filled with air, or is it?
What else would it be filled
yeah.
with?
Yeah.
Or like, is it maybe
it's
has
not filled with
heated,
water?
Something.
It's filled with peanut butter.
By the way,
it
also the way they make it sound, it sounds like it just went boom and it like exploded.
Yeah,
it
kind of
did. It split down the side like this like it tore a little bit, but then it became a giant tear, like you know a balloon. But it's, you know, I just want to know, like, if you're an eagle and you're flying, you know, a mile up in the sky and you see this delicious looking duck, you know, just floating in the harbor, and you're like, damn, that's a nice tasty looking duck, and you don't realize how big it is and already committed to your dive, you know, you're diving for this thing. Is that what happened? Is it
yeah,
like
do you
this
think...
eagle was like well, before it realized, oh shit, that's 50 feet tall.
It said eagles plural, so like I don't know if a bunch of eagles just kind of circled around it.
So this
and
is birdemic.
I don't know.
That might be semantics, though. I mean, you can call one eagle, like an eagle attack is eagles,
yes.
you know, one eagle. And eagles don't hunt in packs.
I wonder if that
unless
eagle thought that it was
story.
Like it was like the crown jewel of ducks that it found and then ended
right,
up pretty disappointed.
Right, this was going to beat its family for a month because it was just a normal size duck.
Hot dang!
So, from 1,000 feet up, it's just a normal size duck.
I guess.
You know, do eagles have wonderful depth perception? I don't know.
Maybe it was like a really old eagle and it's like, oh man, guess my eyesight
finally.
Isn't as bad as I thought it was.
Exactly. So he's like, finally, I was on the verge of death here. The gods, the eagle gods, have given me a meal fit for an eagle king.
God, the duck's getting bigger.
Yeah, suddenly, it's like when you're skydiving, it's like the earth, it doesn't look like the ground is moving until you get really close.
Yeah.
So it's probably that, it's like this duck looked like it was, you know, a normal sized duck until you get, you know, 100 feet away and suddenly it's really huge. And by then you're committed. You can't pull out of that dive.
Oh, crap, 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 crap.
What was the other explanation? It was just something in eagles.
I think the other explanation is it was a balloon and it popped.
Is this thick? Is this really thin criteria?
It's,
I have
I
no idea.
It's similar to what you have on like the Macy's Day Parade.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Seems like one of those. Apparently, these ducks are a huge popularity in Taiwan. One of the organizers said, "We want to apologize to the fans of the yellow rubber duck. We will carefully examine the duck to determine the cause." And this duck had been attracting large crowds since it was put up New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Taiwan was this?
I don't know. Some port.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Taiwan City.
I'm not.
Taiwan.
I mean, I guess being an island, it got lots of places you
right.
can choose. But so.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I think the world will mourn the loss of the giant rubber duck.
I think we'll carry on, though. We can push through this.
We can try.
Okay, let's see. Well, thank you, Matt, for that very nice...
No problem, yeah.
Nice
I figured I'd start things off on a crazy
on a sad,
note.
Disappointing...
A sad,
downer
disappointing...
Note.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess thanks, Matt.
We'll shift gears
sorry.
From...
Bring the show down.
Yeah, Matt, what's really your problem?
Didn't mean to bum you guys out there.
Do you think this was an uplifting story? A duck and an eagle are dead.
Yeah, well, do we have any word on the eagle? We must.
We don't have any confirmation yet. They're still looking into it.
If it didn't die on impact, it's dying of starvation because it was not able to catch its,
well, I hope,
its duck.
I hope maybe a shark at least put out of its misery or something.
Oh,
we can only
no. Yeah, and how does a thing floating that big, how does that not get, you know, eaten by sharks or something? Like, I feel a shark coming from 1,000 feet from the below the surface probably has the same issue. You know, you see this delicious-looking duck floating on the surface.
Yellow stands out.
yeah, right?
Next topic!
All right, so Luke, what do you got?
Well, I got some. We're switching a little pace. You had something a little funny there, or maybe sad. And I'm going to go something a little more.
Only funny so if you're like sadistic.
Here. I found this neat little scientific health thing. You know, that's kind of been my thing.
That's
it's
your niche
about,
on this show.
strange, you know, interesting longevity situations or things where, like, enhancing the body and whatnot. So
I like scientific health things rather than like other health things. what would be the other option other than scientific?
All right.
So what's your thing?
This is from io9.com by who is this? They don't give the guy's name. George Dvorsky.
You've gotten stories from him before.
Yeah, I think so. He just seems.
Oh,
yeah,
George.
Yeah. A cybernetic implant that repairs brain damage. There may be an answer for people suffering from traumatic brain injury. It's a device called the Brain Machine Brain Interface, and it has the potential to revolutionize the way brain damage is treated in humans.
Sounds a little redundant. Brain Machine Brain Interface?
Well, this is what it is.
Okay.
It's as stands, there is no effective way to treat damage and improve function after someone experiences a traumatic injury. This is a problem for 1.5 million Americans who suffer from TBI and the 800,000 stroke victims who suffer from from weakness or paralysis in the U.S. annually. But now a team of neuroscientists from Case Western Reserve University and the University of Kansas Medical Center have devised a solution that appears to work in rats. It's an implantable...
Rats are very close to humans.
Well, yes, in a lot of ways.
No, scientifically, yeah. I mean, it's true. They're, yeah. Scientifically, but I just love the idea that rats are essentially people, as far as scientists are concerned.
Because it's easy to replicate. You can just make tons of these and then just test, and since their biology
no one,
is...
No one cares if you're cutting open the brain of a rat.
Anyway, it's an implantable prosthesis called a brain machine brain interface that serves as a closed loop microelectric system. The device works by recording signals from one part of the brain, preceding them in real time, and then linking them to the injured part in stimulating a second part of the brain that has lost connectivity. Essentially, the prosthetic works by bridging the gap caused by brain injuries, where in turn facilities repair, and
which in turn facilitates repair.
That's which in turn facilitates. Did I say facilities? Did I say facilities?
You said all sorts of things in that sentence.
I'm sorry. Oh, geez. All right. The researchers, when left running continuously for 2 weeks, after which time the rats recovered nearly all function lost due to injury. They did this by basically just cutting the brain with like a knife, and then they would use this thing to like bridge the gaps, and it just kind of healed it up. Not like reconnected it, but the connectivity.
That's interesting. There's already been a lot of research to show that the brain has a lot of plasticity.
Yes.
And recoverability, where it's been, you know, assumed until recently that, you know, brain damage is permanent, and if you lose parts of your brain, they're gone for good.
Yeah.
And it's not so much that the brain repairs itself, but has the ability to work around repairs or damage. So
yeah, a lot of cases with maybe head injury, where like you might lose memories, sometimes the brain will just route around the injury back to the connections that it lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that kind of interesting because I found another article that had to do with think paralysis and like limbs and stuff, where like they're now thinking is like, why are we trying to like, you know, completely repair these right now when we don't yet have the technology, when we could just bypass the injury and send the signal using, you know, electronics.
Mm-hmm.
Where like, you know, you have like maybe your hand is paralyzed from some damaged nerve in your arm. Well, they can just bypass that, mm-hmm, and send the signal from before the injury, then after the injury, and then you can move your hand again.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the doing something like that for a nerve, like in your arm, is so vastly different than working on the brain. But it's interesting that they're like, we don't yet know how the brain is mapped. You know, like we don't, like every neuron in your brain can have 1,000 connections with other, you know, via synapses to another neuron. But we can still, like, on kind of a sloppy, like haphazard way, take a sensor from one side and say, okay, whatever you detect, transmit that to this other side, you know, the other side of the injury.
Yeah.
And it is kind of mind-blowing without actually understanding, we can...
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And the fact, yeah, they kind of know certain places, kind of handle certain stuff, and, like, mm-hmm, you damage this from basically researching people with brain injuries and stuff, like, oh, this is damaged here, so this part of their personality or the function is gone, so that probably region probably does that. But just the fact that through this kind of almost vague knowledge of the brain, we're able to do these sorts of things, like being able to transmit kind of at the moment, like crude images from a camera into the brain so you can see. What else? Oh, recently, what? First, they did it with, like, rat to rat, getting rats to control another rat's brain, but then they went human to rat, and then recently they did human to human. So they had a person controlling another person's hand.
What?
Yeah.
We had that on one of our episodes, right?
Did you talk about that in the show?
I talked about the rat one, yeah. And then I was going to bring up the human one, but I lost the article and I forgot what it was. But like it was
that's like the Force.
I know it was like this progress. It was like rat to rat, human to rat, human to human.
Was that not the biggest news amongst Star Wars fans ever?
Well, you at least got to have that connect, like the transmitter going. But it is kind of creepy though that somebody they
take
in the
over
future really
body.
Wanted to, they could control someone else's body like that.
Next topic.
Well, the idea of sensing and controlling is kind of what my article was about, basically. And this is something they announced last summer, but I just heard about it recently. Okay, our homes are filled with Wi-Fi right now. Like the whole world is filled with Wi-Fi signals.
True.
Right. If you're a Doctor Who fan, you know that they kind of touched on that last season.
Oh yeah.
In an episode of Doctor Who. Hmm. But the if you look in your home, like in my house, I don't even use my main computer, my big desktop computer is on Wi-Fi. We've got two iPads, two iPhones, my Roku, my PS3, you know, all this stuff just shooting out Wi-Fi signals, right?
Right.
They have now found a way to put a sensor in your home that will detect variations in as the Wi-Fi, like, ocean that we're walking around in
where you
reacts
are?
To your body. So you can actually gesture, and it can determine what gesture you're making. And like an Xbox Kinect or whatever, it can operate stuff in your house. Like you can operate your TV by gestures just from detecting the motion through the Wi-Fi signals that are flying around your house.
Really?
That's crazy.
It's called Wisee, and it's astounding to me that you can, they're really accurate. Like I don't remember what the accuracy level was, but it's upwards of 90% where they've been able to, determine the accuracy of a motion, of a gesture, like putting your hand up or spreading your fingers or, you know, things like that, or punching or whatever. And they've been able to determine, what action you're trying to do and have a corresponding thing happen.
That's kind of like that, like that sonar phone thing from The Dark Knight.
Yes, yes, it's exactly like that. I mean, it's, 94% accuracy is what they're saying.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh.
Right?
How do you trigger it? Do you have to be standing in a certain spot, or do you have to voice command it?
I have no idea. I mean, I only heard like a kind of a summary of the project, but there's all sorts of things out on it. And once I started looking for it to talk about, there's all sorts of stuff. I think they use what did they say? They say they used a 2-bedroom apartment for the test, for the prototype test.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that's what I've got. Like, so an average apartment, you know, you can walk around and be anywhere, it supposedly, and control, it can see what you're doing. Like,
that's crazy.
So, like, you would be in your room and then you tell the oven to turn on to 350 degrees. From like your bed?
Theoretically. Like, I don't know, like with 94% accuracy, it seems like you probably wouldn't want it working on things that are, that could, you know,
burn your house
if
down.
If it gets a little bit off, like suddenly you're telling your, oven, 3,000 degrees. Or if it misses your oven, you're like, you're telling your fridge to go to 300 degrees.
Oh.
That wouldn't be good.
That'd be awful. You open it, expecting to get like a cold soda and geez, like in the future, it's just like 50 years from now, things are gonna be crazy different. Like even Matt and I were just talking about like the latest version of the Oculus Rift that just came out.
Oh, I tried that.
You
the
did?
Not the one that came out, but I got to, when I was in France, there was a video game company that was making a video game. And so I just was looking through all my videos from France and I saw a video of me using the Oculus Rift and riding a roller coaster.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty darn cool.
Was it? Yeah, what is it? I think it's at CES. They released the latest latest version of it where, yeah, like, they don't have the late, a lot of latency has been taken out. They don't have that weird motion blur thing anymore, and it can detect where your body kind of is moving in space. You know, along with, like, this fixed head.
Oh, okay.
There. And, like, it's, this guy was reviewing, was like, that wrote the review, I think it might have been on Nerdist. He was talking about how he previously, he thought it was kind of cool, but it's like, you know, your head's still stuck, yeah, in the middle and stuff, but then, like, he's got this, and the motion blur and everything kind of made things feel a little weird. But now he put in this one, I was like, this is the most amazing experience I've had with, like, a video game system in my life. Like, I can move around. Like, I'm crouching down and looking at the little guys on my screen and stuff, and I can, and one of the one of the systems, like, he was, like, in a cockpit flying around in space, watching the space battle going on. I was like, oh, man, I want to try this thing out so bad.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be cool to do, like, a new TIE Fighter game with that.
Oh, yeah!
Or X-Wing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but before it was, like, a novelty, now it's a real game changer. Literally.
Yeah, I did. I remember I used to live in Minnesota, and I went to the Mall of America back in the 90s and tried. They had this virtual reality game set up where you could, like, and it was terrible. I was like, I felt so cheated out of my whatever $10 it cost to try it, because it was, the graphics were terrible. Sure, you could look around and stuff, but so it's basically that's what they're doing now for this, and it's, the cost is coming way down, and the graphics were pretty darn good.
Yeah, no. Technology is now finally catching up to the idea that you had, and I can only, it can only be a matter of time where, like, maybe the other peripherals and stuff would be included too.
When are they going to be commercially available?
I don't, they're still, it's still in, like, beta. It's not quite
there. I mean, there's a lot of thing, there are a lot of problems with the Oculus Rift. You have to wear that giant thing on your face, and that's, it's cool for a second, but I wouldn't want to play a video game. Like, they really do have to decrease the size to, like, a pair of glasses that you put on, in order
or
for,
or just
it
a
to
regular
be,
pair of goggles or something.
Yeah something smaller and more, you know.
Yeah, kind of. It seems like they're kind of, at the moment, they're working out the hardware and software issues, and then I would imagine that they would end up trying to figure out how to make it more customer friendly, so, because, you know, they're spending all their money on this thing, so it was a Kickstarter, it was a big Kickstarter. They $2 million, I think it was.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah
It was interesting because the in the building, in the office next door, so I went to this, basically I was at this little tech park thing in France, in Paris, and the office next door to the guys who were working on with the Oculus Rift were was this guy who was doing this 3D virtualization thing where it uses a parallax effect to let you see inside of a room, and it detects where you are and what your, where your eyes are and whatever, so you don't have to wear anything, but it detects. You have, like, a, I think this one was using a PlayStation Move controller.
Oh, yeah?
Is that what it's called? PlayStation?
Yeah.
Move? Mm-hmm. I don't have one. Yeah. But it was using a controller, so, but it detected where you were. So if you lean to the side, it looks like you're looking through a window, even though it was just a projection on a flat screen.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
It was really an interesting way to use that technology.
I can see. I was a video art major in college, and I could see that being used in quite a lot of installations at some point. It's
kind of, yeah, it was definitely neat.
But that Wi-Fi thing, my gosh,
right?
That sounds pretty cool.
Like, it just you know, I think that the concern is that there is a lot of there are concerns for privacy and for, you know, all those things, because if you can detect, there's no way around the fact that we have wireless signals flying around us all the time, all over. And now if you can detect, if you can detect with a specificity of a gesture, who's to say you can't get more specific and start listening in on conversations, detecting facial movement.
Yeah, what if you could translate, like, sound waves that are coming from, or just your lips, I suppose it could be.
Yeah, or lip reading or something like that, or you know, handwriting, or who handwrites anymore, but you know, what you can detect
typing,
maybe where your fingers are on a keyboard, detect you know, keystrokes. I don't know, it's just all fascinating.
That's kind of creepy.
Right?
It kind of reminds me of, I think it was almost maybe high school I read about this, or maybe it was early college, something like that, when smartphones were coming about. But I remember Nokia had made a prototype phone that could charge itself using the ambient radio waves from, like, cell phones in the air.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it wasn't enough to, like, you know, if keep it 100% all the time, but like if you weren't using your phone, it would slowly trickle charge this thing.
I think I remember hearing about that.
And I was like, I wonder, what happened to that?
Yeah, that's pretty cool technology.
It's like, did battery manufacturers like pull a monopoly?
I think probably the power needs for phones exceeded what that could probably charge.
Maybe.
Because I remember reading about that too, and it was cool that it could charge, but I think it was such a low-level charge.
Yeah, kind of brought the idea wireless electricity. I don't know. Tesla was trying out way back. I think there was an ozone problem back then where it would create too much ozone.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a concern about privacy that now and it's been going on for a long time where, I don't know. I think that we probably aren't going to have a lot or any privacy. And I think we are very surprisingly quickly becoming okay with that. I don't know. Do you think?
Guess it would depend. I mean, at the moment, I can choose what I want, like, to be on, like, the internet and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so far, nobody can look inside my house and tell what the hell I'm doing or whatever.
Yes.
But I know that all our phone conversations are not the conversations themselves, but the log of who you're calling and who's calling you is all being saved and stuff. But
well, at the same time, it's kind of cool to think about, since we're so immersed in all these different waves, like radio waves, cell phone waves, Wi-Fi waves, like what uses and practicality we can think of that involves that.
Wasted electromagnetic spectrum we're not using that's just kind of flying around out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. What's going to be like when we're all old fogies?
I feel like I'm an old fogey now sometimes. I don't know.
I remember the days when you had to pick up a cell phone.
Yeah, a cell phone. I remember it was in your hand and you had to use it. It wasn't in your tooth.
It wasn't implanted in your brain.
In your brain. And
you had to actually use your hands and you liked it.
I remember when we had hands.
I remember when we had bodies before we were just brains in glass jars. That's awful. But it's the future.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's my thing.
Oh, well, that's pretty cool.
A chilling vision of things to come.
So, I think mine. You got anything more, Matt?
No, that was just about all I had. All
right.
Now, what do you mean? Matt came to the table with a rubber duck. So
I guess you win by default.
That's pretty hard to top. Pretty good opening act right there.
There's nothing more important in the world than a rubber duck exploding.
That's right.
So, Matt.
I mean, your guys' Wi-Fi and science breakthroughs, that's kind of on the back burner right now. We're all concerned about that yellow duck.
This is pretty cool, guys. I like, this is like, I am such a nerd. I listen to, instead of listening to music on my phone, I listen to NPR podcasts. So I'm always listening to Science Friday and other, you know, all the nerd podcasts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I listen to Marketplace, which is weird because I have no earthly business listening to a show about money, but it's actually really good.
Yeah. I'll catch it. It comes on once in a while. I'm usually just hearing mostly just the news because of my commute,
mm-hmm.
but
yeah,
on the weekend, sometimes something else will be on.
Yep. And Marketplace now has, they basically purchased the tech podcast, can't remember what it's called, but it's the Marketplace Tech Podcast now, and it's great. It's like a little technology every day. It's only 6 minutes or something like that.
Yeah. Sweet. Well, we do this show about every other week because it alternates with our video game show.
Oh, cool.
But you're always welcome back on, Travis.
We love having guests.
We like having guests. Thanks.
When I'm happy to join you.
When there's three people, it seems to be the optimum number of people. When
there's four, everybody's all trying to get their word in. But
and then there's two people, it's just like, what do we talk about next? So it's nice having three people.
That's cool, yeah. I have a podcast that we've been starting to relaunch now. We did it a while back a few years ago called the Boycow Radio. And so we actually need to do a new episode of that too, but we'll figure that out.
Would you like to plug it before?
Boycow Radio. That's what it's called. If you can find it on Facebook and you can search iTunes for it and it will be there.
Your YouTube channel. You want to?
Oh, yeah. That's very easy. YouTube.com/TravisRitchie. We just are starting to release some new videos, going simply and funny. You know, you can see me in drag in my last video, which is fun, and where I play my own mother.
And then you also got,
and of course, Inspector Space Everything Time. Inspector Space Time. If you Google Inspector Space Time, or if you want to see the Inspector Space Time web series, just Google that. You'll find it. It's all easy.
Fun stuff. Good stuff. All right. Anybody listen to this, check his stuff out. I really like it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, and I cannot wait for you to see the news that we've got planned.
Ooh.
For it's exciting.
I will keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Travis, for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks so much. Are we wrapping up?
Yeah.
All right. Brilliant.
Good to meet you, man.
All right. Take care.
Yeah. You too.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, Jellyheads, thanks for listening to this episode of Flapdoodle Forum. We've been your hosts, Lucas Wilson and
Matt Buckley.
If you enjoyed this episode and you want to listen to more, I suggest you hop on over to our website at psychojellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. If you also subscribe to us on iTunes and the podcast app Stitcher, please rate and review. It really helps out our show. If you're a fan and you want to spread the madness, give us a like at facebook.com/psychojellyfish or follow us on Twitter at Jellycast. And finally, if you got any thoughts, words, comments, questions, or perhaps a crazy news story you want to send our way, email it to us at email@psychojellyfish.com. It's been a fun one, folks.
Psycho out!
Well, Jellyheads, thanks for listening.
I thought
you had logged off.
I didn't know if you were going to post-record, like you pre-recorded the intro and then you did. This is the most awkward part of the podcast. The endings are important, George Lucas.